If their owners ever find out it was you who stole the eyes of their statue, it could bring death to our abbey. They are stones of ill fortune.
Samuelus closed the book.
So, there you have it, Father. The tale young Bisky told was mostly true, with just a few words of his own invention to make the recital of it more thrilling. Is that not right, young'un?
The young mouse shrugged self-consciously.
Aye, just as you say, Grandonk. But what happened to the eyes of the great Doomwight? Did Prince Gonf ever tell where he did them?
Have a listen, let his curiosity show.
Indeed, it would be very interesting to know. Is there nothing in Lady Columbine's book?
Samuelus shook his head.
Nothing at all, Father. She never mentions the subject again. But do you see this other book and these scrolls that I had hidden in the rafters? Well, this book belonged to Gonf. It's one long riddle from beginning to end. As for the scrolls, they're the Maldini's notes.
Twink chimed in brightly.
Please, sir, could we have a look through them? Maybe we could find some clues.
Abbot Glisson perked up suddenly.
What fun that would be. May we look, Samuelus? I don't suppose there'd be any harm in just looking. Who knows, we may even find the jewels.
The old mouse willingly placed the material on the gatehouse table.
Be my guest, friends. I've taken a good peek through them myself and had no luck. So, if you think you can translate the scribbles of a mouse thief and the squiggled ramblings of a mole, you're welcome to them.
Bisky leapt upon Gonf's journal.
Leave this to me, pals. I'll find those jewels.
Abbot Glisson forestalled him by gathering up the lot.
Of course you will, straight after your kitchen duties and lunch. Is it still raining outside?
Humphrey poked his spiky head outside the gatehouse door.
Oi, if you didn't hear my father, we'll have to put these towels over us and run for it.
Carrying the records between them, they donned towels and dashed over the waterlogged lawns through the pelting wet curtains of rain. Abbot Glisson took charge of the volumes and scrolls. Samuelus and Humphrey went to visit the wine cellars, which were jointly run by former old Gullub Gerpaw and Humphrey's grandfather, Corksnout Spickle. Old Corksnout was the biggest hedgehog who ever lived, or so they said. An injury in a bygone battle had robbed him off his nose. But the ever-resourceful Samuelus fashioned him a new one from a keg cork, attached by a string to his head spikes. Even Humphrey was dwarfed by the size of his grandfather. Bisky and Dwink both reported to Friar Skirple in the kitchens where they were assigned duties. The mole friar looked them up and down.
Young'uns, yum be soaking from ee rain. How would ee like a job on ee warm ovens, pulling out bread loaves? That'll dry ee.
Gratefully, the pair hastened to join the oven crew and began using long wooden paddles to retrieve freshly baked items. They joined in with their mates, singing what they termed the oven shanty. Helping on the ovens was a chore enjoyed by all young abbey dwellers. Side by side, they wielded the long beach paddles, roaring out the verses lustily like sea otters aboard ship.
Paddle away, mate, paddle away. Some shots may have a nice surprise and maybe a raspberry tart. Who picks such wonderful things as these? Oh, paddle away, they paddle away. With onion gravy and bubbling cheese, the dread will catch any crew. So heave and hoe and paddle low, take over that door and load it more. Up we're all come paddling.
Frintle placed a big plum cake on Bisky's paddle. She smiled sheepishly at him.
Sorry I snitched your brother Terrillus about you. I just couldn't help myself.
Bisky smiled as he shot the cake along the oven shelf. He wiped a paw across his brow cheerfully.
It turned out pretty well for me. Don't fret me!
This ends Disc 1.